Praise the Lord. Good morning. I'm going to go ahead and open with prayer. Because of circumstances this morning, we didn't get to have prayer in the prayer room, so I'm going to pray like I'm praying at the very end of prayer for the prayer room. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are going to be with us today. Lord, we thank you, God, that you are going to move mightily, Lord, in our service, God, that you're going to touch our hearts. Lord, we just yield and we surrender, Lord, to your will for our lives. I pray, God, that right now, Lord, as we get ready to worship you, Lord, that our hearts would connect with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, we surrender, God, this service. We commit it into your hands. We ask, God, that every perfect plan that you have for us in heaven, God, would be established here today. Lord, I pray right now that there would be no distractions. There would be nothing that the enemy would be able to bring in that would keep us from being able to totally focus on you, Jesus. And Lord, we thank you, God, that you are our God and we are your people, Lord, and you have given us life and life abundantly. And we receive that today, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
I know who you are, the cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future, and it's worth the living. I was made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why running my way, I know I am yours. I was made for more. I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start.
I'm not afraid to die. and every crown. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay. is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down. You are all I'm chasing now. This is my surrender.
Challenging words, aren't they? I'm desperate for you. You know, sometimes I sing that word, I'm desperate for you. I say, am I really desperate for you, Lord? I mean, I'm a pastor, you know, and I spend time reading my word, and I, you know, and I do my devotions, and you know, and I try to live the very best Christian life that I can possibly live. Still make mistakes. Really desperate for you? Does my life fully reflect that desperation? I know God's full of grace, and he knows me. He made me. He knows my idiosyncrasies. He knows my flaws. But I still think there's a goodness in us when we think that, am I really desperate for you, God? You know, Paul, who is a radical apostle, I mean, he did things that, you know, we would probably only dream of, and had things done to him that we would probably hope never happened to us. In that, he said that I may know him. He was desperate. He was still desperate, even though he spent time somehow personally with Jesus when he was up in the desert, and said that Jesus literally taught him things. He still wanted to know more. That's that desperation that we need to have. So we're going to go through this, and we're going to sing this one more time. And so just when you sing that, don't just say the words, don't just read the music, but ask your heart, am I desperate for you, God? And help me to be desperate for you. Help me to truly live a desperate life for the things of God. Yes, Lord, we do. We admit, Father, that we would be lost without you, Jesus. And I pray today, Lord, that you would continue to encourage our hearts, Lord, to be the people, the men and women of God, the families of God that you've called us to be. Help us, Lord, to love well. Help us, Lord, to be a good friend, Lord, to those who need friendship in their lives. Help us, Lord, to see and hear, Lord, people, Lord, that are in desperate situations that need the touch of God. Help us, Lord, to live a desperate life for you, Lord, that reflects your kingdom and your glory, Lord, as you've desired it to be. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Well, praise the Lord. Why don't you just take a few minutes, hug on each other, and we will be back. And the Lord is good. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. He is good all the time. All right, well, if you'd stand with me, we're going to go ahead and do the declarations. We're going to do Yakima Valley today. On three, one, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city would have all their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, and that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in the Yakima Valley as it is in heaven. Amen. Lord, we thank you, God, for us being here. Lord, this is the place you have chosen us to live at this time. You've established our borders. So, Lord, we're here in the Yakima Valley. And as your people, Lord, we intercede right now. We stand in the gap for the Yakima Valley, Lord. We pray that those that don't know you, Lord, here in this valley, Lord, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, Lord, that they would see, God, you in their lives, Lord. They would see your love for them, Lord. They would see, Jesus, what you have done for them, Lord, in salvation on the cross, Lord. I pray right now, Lord, that every home, Lord, would be drawn to the things of God, Lord, that the traps of the enemy and the schemes of the enemy and the enticements of the enemy would be broken off of their lives, and that they would be able to receive the truth, Lord. They'd be able to receive you, Lord Jesus. You are the way and the truth and life, Lord. Let that become evident and real to everyone in this Yakima Valley. I pray, Lord, that hearts would be turned towards you, Lord, that lives would be turned towards you, Lord, that entire families, God, would turn towards the things of God. Lord, we pray for salvation, Lord, for households. We pray salvation, Lord, for businesses, God. We pray salvation, Lord, for the schools, Lord. We pray salvation and blessing, God, over all the aspects of this city government and every single department, God. We pray, Lord, that you would just touch every part of our valley, Lord, and let it be, Lord, a valley that represents, Lord, the kingdom of God. Even though that doesn't make sense in our natural mind, Lord, we know that with you all things are possible. So we pray, God, for a miraculous move of God in our valley in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And this, what's that? Oh, someone else. This is a QR code that you can scan with your phone if you want to go ahead and connect with us. Just point your phone at it, and it'll send you to a form that you can let us know any information that we need to know, any prayer requests, or to find out if be on a list so you know what we're going to be doing in the future. And this coming Saturday night, we're going to be at the new home, new old home, but it's like a new home, right? Of the Casillas's, and I'll send out the address. That will be at 6:30, and I highly encourage all of you to please try to make it, because it's an amazing time. These house prayers are ordained by God, and they have been, well, they blessed me. They blessed me beyond I can even mention. And then I want to also just thank everyone for giving to the house, helping us meet all of the needs of this house. You can give at onelifefamilyworship.com. Click the give button. You can give up front, or you can give in the back. And we are thankful and grateful for all of you faithful givers. Amen. We normally send the children down. Children's ministry will be up here. So those of you who, they'll be right there in that area. So just allow the presence of God to be here, and open your hearts and receive what the word is. And I believe that the kids will not be a distraction. Amen. I'm sure there were lots of kids around when Jesus was teaching, right? And so it's not impossible to receive from God when we have other things going on. So I'm not going to be sharing on the second part of what I was talking about last week, because I really felt that I wanted to make sure that everybody was going to be here. I know a couple of families that weren't able to make it. So, but I had this on my heart. I came across this scripture. Actually, I came across it in the Amplified, and it really kind of jumped out at me. And then I started doing some study on it, and it's one of those things that I kind of leaned in some ways into the wrong interpretation of this scripture. So before I do that, I just want to let you all know that Gay on last Sunday wasn't here. And I think you guys remember we prayed for her. And I wasn't sure what it was. I thought it might have been some kind of flu that I had had the week before and that she had somehow picked up. But on Saturday night, she was like running a 104.5 fever, which is pretty high. She goes, "I didn't know that you could be that, you know, have that kind of a fever and still live, you know, as an older person, an adult," I think you said. Yeah, we don't want to say old people, but yeah, We know where we fit nowadays. Anyway, in the scheme of things, but what ended up happening is that on Sunday she still was feeling a little bit better. The fever broke, but she still had like some pain. And then by Monday morning, the pain was really bad. So we took her into the urgent care in the Union Gap area, and just to make sure that everything was okay, because that was recommended by her PA, PA assistant, actually. And she ended up, going in to have, the scans and everything, just to make sure everything was okay. And the doctor came back in and said, "I thought so. You have an appendicitis." And Kate looked up like her, and I looked up like her, "What?" You know, it's like, because you think appendix, is usually in your younger years, and maybe that's just to say you're not as old as we're thinking. It's you're still young at heart, and your body still thinks you're young. So we ended up going over to the actual Memorial Hospital, and it was probably about 6 o'clock at night when they started surgery on her, so it was late. And bless Gay's heart, but she has a problem with anesthesia. Does anybody else have problems with anesthesia? Well, she really has problems with anesthesia. And so I came in about 7:20 or so. No, she got out about 7:20. I went in about 8 o'clock. And they had already been working with her for a half hour, 45 minutes, and after she came awake from the surgery, and she was saying that that she could not get over the nausea. So by that time, they had already given her just about every drug that you can get to be able to get over nausea, and it wasn't working. So they gave her like this smelling patch, and they put a patch on her, and so it was about 11 o'clock at night that they finally decided we have to keep her because she can't. She tries to move, and she would just get sick. And so I say all that to say this is that she's here in church today. That is probably a pushing it, but she pushes things pretty hard, and that's why she's sitting in the cushy chair. So if you ever come in and you're not feeling well, we get to a cushy chair. It can be like the special chair for you. So if someone's sitting in that give them extra attention. And so, she's doing well. Thank you for all your prayers. I really believe that prayer changes things and that she's more recovered than what she could have been had we not prayed. And we had amazing doctors. Every single person that we dealt with was kind and caring, and nobody was short or curt that I ran into. And it was a good experience. So praise God. I guess if you can have a good experience going to the hospital, she had a good experience. And so keep her in your prayers, because we're believing for a full and speedy recovery. No complications. So far, so good. Praise God. So today I want to talk about, I can do all things, ? I can do all things, ? What does that mean? Why a ? And I can do all things? Well, it's because I want us to realize, as I realized as I was doing this study, that is not just a catchphrase. That is something that is communicating a very, very deep truth. As we've spoken about before, sometimes we can look at verses, and we've heard verses, and people have used verses through the years, and so we think of them in a certain context. And I want us to see that there is more going on this particular line than does anybody heard the full verse? Here it is right here. It's in the New King James. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, that verse does have a lot of the truths in it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is Philippians 4:13. By the way, the New Living Translation says this way, "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. And then if we look at Philippians 4:13 in the complete Jewish Bible, it says, "I can do all things through him who gives me power." Now, all of those scriptures are very close to what the truth is, but there's this mindset that has been out there, and I don't know if any of you have ever heard it before. Sometimes you'll see somebody who's getting ready maybe to, climb a mountain, And it's a pretty difficult mountain, or they're about to do some kind of, you know, physical event, and I can do all things, you know, and through Christ who strengthens me. And it's like, he's going to give me this supernatural empowerment to be, or this, he's going to give me everything I need to be able to accomplish this feat. It's really a misinterpretation. It's not about unlimited achievement. And it's not just a blank check for achieving anything personal, ambition, or goal. It's not a promise of physical success, wealth, or athletic victory. I mean, I've heard people, you know, when they were doing some kind of business deal or something, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't think it's a problem relying on Christ and looking to Christ. But you're missing the depth of what this verse is saying here. And this was not Paul regarding or boasting in his own personal resilience or fortitude. It's not a self-empowerment or an external success. This verse is about a depth that we can have in Christ where we can go through things that normally other people wouldn't be able to go through without breaking. So I'm here to tell you that when we read the Bible, it's about context, context, context. What does that mean? Have you guys ever seen me when I'm doing a study that I'll have multiple scriptures that say the same thing? I try to. Very rarely do I. Usually have one scripture that says something. If I do, I just say, because this particular passage only uses this word one time in the Bible. But then I'll bring up other scriptures that hopefully balance or give light to that same scripture. It's an idea that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So when you're reading the Bible or when you're hearing somebody preach, if they're just using one verse, they never go to any other verses, you need to probably yourself go to at least the chapter, read the chapter. If nothing else, read a few verses ahead and a few verses back. You know, try to get it in much context as it means. And so what does that mean? Well, that means to read all the surrounding passages. We get a better understanding of the full chapter, not just the verse. Sometimes it's good to read the previous chapter. I think I've showed you before that sometimes there's a previous chapter that's going on, especially with some of Jesus' times he's communicating. And you go back to the previous chapter and it's the same basically message. And you're getting now another aspect of that message. You need to know the original audience. Was the audience just for you, or was the audience to the Jews of that day? I mean, obviously, God's promises are yes and amen. And so when you hear a promise from the Word, I believe that he's no respecter of person. We can take that promise. But there gets to be a danger when you're just applying everything in the Old Testament to today. And when you're even sometimes you're applying everything in what would be considered in the day of Paul. You know, when he was writing, I don't know if you ever heard, but it says that when women pray, they have to keep their head covered. And there are actually some churches out there that have head coverings for all their women. And it's just part of what they believe. And if you go back and understand that, that was part of the custom of that day. It's you know, and I think I wouldn't measure up very much because it's, you know, it's not good for a man to be bald, right? I mean, but the thing is that we have to realize that those things were for that time. We now live in another day, and so we're not under those same types of constraints. But so we need to know who it was written to and why. Cross-references. Does anybody know what cross-references are and how to use them in your Bible? If you go to a physical Bible, and I know there's few out there now, but if you go to a physical Bible, if you go sometimes to the side of the Bible, you'll see verses, numbers, and you can click on those, you can go to them, and you can go to that verse, and you'll see that it's a cross-reference. If you go to most Bible studies, you know, on your deal, your phone, you know, your tablet, you can go to cross-references, and you can see those cross, and you can click on those, and those will take you to other verses that follow that same thought. It lets Scripture interpret Scripture before concluding. See, what ends up happening is if we don't do these things, we can make the Bible say anything we want. Has anybody heard the it's not really a story, but it's kind of an illustration of how bad it can be just by going off of just one verse. You can grab a verse like Judas hung himself, right? You know, pull that out of context. And then you can go and find another verse where Jesus says, go and do likewise. And you put those two together and it really doesn't sound too good, does it? You know, and so it needs to be in the context of what we're in. The cross references are going to help us stay on track. We need to respect the genre. If it's poetry, go understand that this is poetry. Sometimes poetry says things and it communicates ideas that aren't necessarily, you know, and there's people that have communicated in the Bible that have said things that are from a bad idea, a bad perspective. They're bad kings, and the way that they believe sometimes comes out of their mouth. You don't want to use that for your biblical beliefs. Epistles are letters to churches, and we have to realize that there's different narratives, and we have to interpret them differently. And I know we want to read the Bible and just look at a promise. Now, I'm telling you, if the Holy Spirit, when you're reading something, and like in the Old Testament, and the Holy Spirit uses it to speak to your heart and helps change you, then that's fine. But, you know, don't necessarily just go out and teach that for everybody, because maybe that's just for your heart. And then don't overreach. Only apply it to the genuinely parallel situations. In other words, don't make the Bible fit what you want it to be. Make sure the Bible is what is communicating to you. You're not getting the Bible to communicate what you want to hear. You know, that's called itching ears. And there's people that go from churches to churches, meeting to meetings, and they're listening, trying to find words that justify their life, but maybe not open to really what God wants to say to them. So let's look at this verse now in its context. This is Philippians 4:10-13. Now we're going to read the whole chapter. Really, these first three verses really kind of start nailing it down. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. What is this saying? This is saying that the Philippian church, who was one of Paul's closest churches, he helped plant this church himself. You know, have anybody ever heard the Philippian jailer? That's when Paul and Silas were in prison and they were at midnight singing hymns and praises to the Lord. They were chained up. And what ended up happening is while they were singing, there was a great earthquake. The prison doors opened up, all the prison doors, not just there. Their chains fell off. The warden was going to kill himself. And Paul yelled out, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." I think that would probably start a revival in that place, don't you? I don't know if that was the exact warden. Maybe he got like a revival going, but that was a significant place for Paul. Philippi was. So they were wanting to help him because he's in prison right now and he's writing to them. And they probably heard he was in prison. He needed, you know, in those days when you went to prison, did you know that sometimes you had to fund yourself to live? Like the state wasn't taking care of you. I mean, they would give you just menial things, you know, maybe just bread and water. But if you wanted anything else, it needed to come from outside. So he was hoping to get, you know, whatever he needed and was looking to God, but also God uses his people. And they were wanting to give to him. But at one point they couldn't give because they didn't have the opportunity. Now he's thanking them because they did send a gift. You can read about that later in this book. But he says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content. Preached on this before. Paul learned a contentment in whatever state he was in. And he says here, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. In other words, I know how to be without and I know how to have much. And he says here, everywhere and in all things, notice in all things. So here we have this in all things again. I have learned to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then in verse 13, now you have this statement, I can do all things. Go back up to the all things. This is what he's talking about. I think this is called an accusative form of this verb. And it's being used to point back to what he had just spoken about. He's not just saying, I can do anything I want to at any time because God gives me strength. He's saying, I can get through these difficult times. I can get through these good times and bad times. Why? Because I have Jesus in my life. Because he lives in me. And we'll see here, this literally is communicating because I have union with him. I have common union with Christ, and he dwells in me, which allows me to go through anything. That's still a great verse, isn't it? It may not be like some positive thinking verse, but it's still the truth of how we can live through difficulties and still say praise the Lord, right? Still say thank you, Jesus. Still say, you know what? He's got me. Even though I don't know what's going on, he's got me. Speaking of he's got me, this week Phyllis had to go back into the hospital at the same time, the same day, she's being sent to the hospital because she's gotten an infection in where they did the surgery. And so now she's going back in to surgery the next day, and they're having to scrape what was infection off of her bones. Sorry about that. They were able to you know, clean her up. And that next day, or maybe it's the same day, they actually had her walking. And she has not been walking for almost 2 months. So praise God. But Phyllis is someone who has been learning this scripture by living it out. She can do all things. She's able to go through being at Good Sam's and only seeing her husband a little bit. Someone that she lived with, you know, pretty much all the time before. And they've hardly ever, 65 years, hardly been separated. And so now they're having to spend this time apart. It's hard on him. It's God who's giving them that strength to go through that. You can't do it on your own. So let's look at this. The scholarly biblical context of this scripture, spirit-empowered contentment. Strength for spiritual endurance in circumstances beyond human coping. So have you guys ever, has any of you ever been in a situation? I know some of you have been in a situation where the situation was getting to be so overwhelming that in your own heart and mind you couldn't handle it. And yet you realized that there was another source for this moment. You said, Lord, I need your help. Or you ask someone to pray for you, and they prayed for you, and supernaturally an empowerment came to go through that moment. Anybody else? I have many times. I'm telling you, God is there. He's ready to be a present help in time of need. It's a declaration of contentment during financial hardship and deprivation. So what is this? This is when difficult times even come financially. You lose a job. Have any of you ever lost a job? One or two? You lost a job? Like you were fired? Yeah? You were fired, Tim? Oh, I was fired. I was fired for embezzlement. Yeah. Goody two shoes. Mike, yeah. Was fired for embezzlement. What ended up happening is I was taking over a large store. I was in a Yakima store for Radio Shack, and I did really well, actually won awards and everything. And then they moved me to the super huge store that I guess they figured, well, if he's doing this, he's got to be able to handle this, you know. So it took me to this really big store, and the manager that was at that store was not organized. And so he had things all over the place. And we had to do what was called a manager exchange inventory. And so we're, you know, going through doing this inventory. It's late at night. And there was this big pile in the middle. I said, is this checked in? Is this part of the store now or is it not? And he gave me an answer. And the answer was wrong. And so what he said is it wasn't part of the store, had not been checked in. So it was still in transit as far as radio. And that wasn't the case. It had already been checked in the store. So we didn't count it. And it was about $5,500 worth of merchandise. And so then about another 2 months later, we're doing another inventory. So I do an inventory and all, you know, everything's good. And I'm starting to get this store organized, you know, because it redisplay and make it so that people could see the products and all of that. And all of a sudden my district manager comes walking in and he says, oh, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm trying to make the store, you know, to where people want to purchase things. He goes, well, we got bigger problems than that. So we went in there, and that's when he told me that there had been a $5,500 inventory shrink, and It was during, it was you know, on me because of my last inventory. And it was about an hour and a half later, I walked out of there and that was it. No job. Had moved over with my family over to Idaho, and we were from Yakima and had hardly any friends at all. Was, you know, just starting to make our way there, and ended up, you know, then, like, I think it was, went to church on Sunday, found a great church, a little four square church, and ended up, you know, leaving on Monday, drove back and wondered, okay, now what, God? Yeah. But there was still, in all of that craziness, there was a peace. I knew he had me. I knew he had our family. And so it was weird because, you know, usually when you lose a job, you think you're going to go out, you know, and just get a job right away. But something told me on Monday, don't go out and look for work. I thought, well, I should really go look for work. And, you know, or maybe it's Tuesday. Don't look for work. And then, okay. And then Wednesday, okay, I'll go out and look. And I was very in tune with the Lord back then. Not to say I'm not now, but, you know, it was the early Christian days, and he just kind of talked to me all the time. I didn't feel right about going out on Wednesday. So Wednesday night, we were back, and we went to a home meeting. And at the home meeting, I was basically, you know, just telling everybody what was going on, what had happened, you know, and they prayed for us as a family. And I was in a you know, kind of vulnerable state and communicating. They were all very, very kind. And so I woke up that next Thursday morning. And I felt, okay, I'm to go look for work today. Well, at that meeting, someone said, hey, I have a electronics business. Well, you can come down and put in your application. I said, oh, okay, that'd be great, you know. So I went in, and it was a gentleman named Blaine Fielding, and I went, and Blaine took my application, and I communicated with him a little bit, and I walked out the door, and, you know, you start applications, you're going to go lots of places. And the Lord told me, don't go anywhere else. It's all good. Like, okay. You know, it's like, you know. So again, I didn't do anything. Went home that night. The next day I call him. Blaine said, I want to hire you. And so God had me. And there was still a peace. And I'm telling you that enduring financial hardship or deprivation, God can be there for us. But we have to realize it. See, once you start taking the burden on yourself, then you're carrying the weight of that burden. You're carrying the weight of that moment. Once you start saying, once you start taking out of his hands and say, you know what, I've got to carry this because, you know, it must be too heavy for you, God. I don't know why we do that. Why do we carry the burdens when he's meant to be our burden carrier? When he's meant to be the one that says, cast all your cares on me because I care for you, right? Why do we do that? Well, I believe it's human nature because we like to be in control, even of our own problems. And it messes us up when we do that. It's also a humble acknowledgement of dependence on a continuous divine empowerment. I love that part. It's a continuous divine empowerment, and it's a dependence on that, knowing that he is the one who gives me strength. So here's the Philippians 4:13. In the Common English Bible. I can endure all these things. Really did a good job. Is it a paraphrase? It is a paraphrase, but it's really communicating the idea that those previous three things I was communicating about, that I can either abase or abound, or I can be, in prison, or I can be free, you know, whatever, you know, contrast you want, I can be full or I can be hungry. I've learned to endure all these things through the power of the one who gives me strength. Amen? Here's another. Believe it or not, this is the Message, which is a good Bible, by the way. It's a paraphrase, but it does a great job. Whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. I love that, the one who makes me who I am. In other words, God is the one who is at work in you. And if I can rely on him and go through him instead of carrying all this myself, I can make it through anything. I can do all things. Puts a different perspective on that verse. And then Philippians 4:13 in the Jonathan Mitchell New Testament. And I don't expect you guys to go out and get this. This is definitely a Bible study book. But I'll tell you what, it's great. And this verse is being communicated with great truth because this giving you strength is in the constant. I have constantly strength for all things among all people from being in union with and within the midst of the one. So it's when it's saying in, that literally means in the midst of. Our in is kind of like, you know, it's something's in the box. And we don't give it the, kind of the depth. We just think, well, that's in the box. But this is saying it's within the box. It's inside of the box. This is the idea that we have to get is that when we're in Christ, we're within Christ. This is a divine union. I mean, when we take communion, it's not just to remember his death till he comes. It's also to remember what he's done. And what he's done is he's made us in union with him. I in him and he in me. Just like Jesus said, Father, I am in you and you are in me. Perfect our unity. In other places in the word, we read that we're in Christ and Christ is in us. I know it doesn't make sense to our natural mind, but it's the truth. And he's enabling me, empowering me, infusing me with power and ability. And that's all Christ. So when it's talking about the one, that's Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's look at some verses. Couple of verses that kind of seal the deal, that kind of communicate from Paul's perspective, his thoughts, his hearts about these ideas. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, each time he said, my grace is all you need, my power works best in weakness. Does anybody know what this is? This is Paul wanting to get rid of what's called the thorn in the flesh, we call it. He's asking God to remove it. He's saying, Lord, can you remove this thing from me? And he asked him three times, and three times he says, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So this goes right along with it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When I'm weak, he is strong. Listen to this. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. I'm here to tell you that when we are weak in ourselves, Christ is strong in us when we're relying on him. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses. I don't know how many of us say that. I take pleasure in my weaknesses. I take pleasure in my sufferings. I take pleasure in those things that are setbacks in life. He takes pleasure in them. That kind of goes along with James. Count it all joy, brethren, when what? When you suffer what? Trials. Count it joy. This does not compute in our natural mind. But it's the truth. That's the thing. It's the reality. And in the insults, hardships, persecution, and the troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That's called a what? Oxymoron. For when I am weak, I am strong. You guys know what an oxymoron is? It's something that is reverse of what the other said, but it's the truth, though. When we are weak, in other words, when we are emptied of ourselves, when we are at the end of ourselves, when we're physically weak, then God comes in with his strength. If we're relying on him and not ourselves. Ephesians 3:14-16 says this, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole heaven, whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. I'll say that one more time. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. That's where the might and the strength come from, is the spirit in our inner man. It's not in our intellect. You know, this isn't something that you get from just reading this scripture over and over and over again, unless you get it to go from your head to your heart. If you get it to where you've renewed your mind, some people say, well, renewed my brain. No, renewed the mind. How many know that the mind is not just your brain? the mind is that part of your soul that you can't really see or hear, or that, you know, some people call it consciousness. It's just there. And once you start renewing that, then it really changes the way that you think and act to people and in your own life. And so this is what he's talking about, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Praise God. And I'm going to leave you with this scripture, John 15:5. This is Jesus, and he's talking to his disciples. These three chapters, 14, 15, and 16, are really the last words that he probably communicated to them before he went to the cross in great detail. There are other books in the four Gospels that have some, but there's so much rich, you know, theology and doctrines in those three chapters. And right here in chapter 15, he's talking about God being the husbandman and the vine dresser, and that Jesus then says, "I'm the vine." What is he talking about? He was most likely going through grape fields, and he's pointing at his disciples saying, "Listen, I'm the vine. And you are the branches." In other words, I am that root. I am that root that gets the nutrients from the soil. I'm the source that makes those branches grow and those fruit grow and the grapes be able to become plush and beautiful and create amazing beverages and stuff. He says, I'm that. And you are the branches. In other words, we're the part of that vineyard that produces the fruit. We're the ones that are supposed to produce the fruit. But then he says, if you remain in me and I in you. So here we have that whole idea of us remaining in Christ. We're in Christ and Christ is in us. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. In other words, if you stay connected to the vine and allow the flow of that connection, which is usually, you know, nutrients that come through the sap. I don't know all this stuff. You guys know you're orchardists, but you know how those fluids flow and feed, sometimes just moisture feeds that branch so that it can sprout and blossom and then eventually produce fruit. But then he says this, apart from me, you can do nothing. That sounds like it's the opposite of I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Apart from Christ, we can't do a thing. Apart from Jesus working in our life and us giving him our life to work in, we can't do anything. Now, some would say, well, I can go out and change my tire and, you know, and I don't ask God to do that. Yeah, that's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about that you can accomplish some task at your house. We're talking about fulfill the call and the purposes and the plans on your life. We're talking about where you become a blessing and not a curse to this world. Where you become a life giver and a light giver instead of darkness. And instead of, you know, tearing things down with your words, you build people up with your words. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about you will be a world changer when you stay connected to Jesus. Because he was a world changer. So if we're connected to the world changer, guess what we become? World changers. Does that mean that we're going to turn the whole world upside down? No, but we can turn the ones that God gives us to turn upside down. We can help them be directed towards the one who gives us life and will give them life. So I can do all things. Does that have a little different picture when you hear it now? Was there anybody else that it just kind of thought like I can just do all things? And not really put in the perspective of that it means I can go through anything. I can be empowered to do anything. Last night, it was so cool. I don't know this gentleman's name. I was almost going to put the video up, but I'll have to try to go find that. I don't have time to do it. But he is an evangelist. And you guys might have seen him on YouTube. He's pretty popular. But he has cerebral palsy. And he talks, and I know his hands are, you know, he's suffered brain damage, which has affected his nerves and his muscles and everything. And he's talking about how God called him to be a preacher. He's just like laying in his bed one night, and God says, "Hey, I want you to be a preacher." And he's like, you know, and he's... because that's what it talked. It's almost impossible for him to talk. You know, kind of like Moses. I can't talk. You know, you got the wrong guy, God. You know, after those 40 years being in the wilderness or being out on the desert, you know, feet, you know, just taking care of sheep, he had lost all of his zeal, you know. And God says, no, I want to use you, Moses. Anyway, that being said, he's going like, I can't do this. And God says, you know, he says, God, do you know that I have cerebral palsy? And God's like, hello, I made you. I know that you have cerebral palsy. Because he's just trying to give him an excuse. Huh? He's a comedian. Yeah, he is very funny. But he says this. Huh? David Ring. There you go, if you want to hear him. But he ends up saying, and Gay's sitting over there, and she doesn't know what I'm sharing on today. She probably thought it was going to be something on the power of prayer, because that's what all the messages have been lately. And he says this, when he was talking about that he is a preacher now, you know, and all the things that he had to do, but he said this, he said, I can do all things. And I heard that, and I just smiled, and I turned this to Gay. And she said, it was already there. It was actually on my screen at the time. And so, you know, God has ways of confirming what you're about to do. So I'm here to tell you that you can do all things. But keep in mind what those all things are. They're what God is empowering you to do. When he said, I can do all things, I said, that is absolutely true. Because in his own natural ability, he would never be a preacher. But through Christ, he is able to preach. And he said that year that he was talking, he had 880-something invites to come and preach. So obviously, he had accomplished what God asked him to do. But it wasn't through his own strength. It's because of Christ who gave him strength. Amen? Amen. Lord, we thank you, God, that we can do all things. But Lord, help us to realize, Lord, that those all things, God, are your things, God, that you want us to walk through to help us become who you've called us to be. Lord, this reminds me of the scripture that says, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that those all things in our lives, Lord, help conform us to the image of Jesus. And Lord, we just surrender our hearts and we surrender our lives, Lord, to your work, Lord, that you want to do in us. And help us, Lord, to be those ones who let our inner man be strengthened through the Holy Spirit. Let your word, Lord, lead us, God, and guide us into all truth, Lord, where we can have lives of liberty, God, living, Lord, for God, not trapped by the works of the enemy. Lord, I thank you for each and every one that's here today, Lord. And I pray, God, that you would continue to search, supernaturally empower them to live, to move, and have their very being in you, Lord. That they would be light in a dark world, Lord. That they would be truth, Lord, where lies are permanent, are permeating the area. Lord, that they would be able to be, Lord, your people called by your name. And are here for such a time as this. And that the work that you have them to do, Lord, that you've preordained, Lord, for them to live out in their lives, Lord, that would be fulfilled and they would bear much fruit. And I ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, guys, have a blessed day. Praise the Lord. And Eric and Nancy, that's why we had our... It's not really canned worship, because canned worship just seems sometimes so static. There's a flow with this worship. I'm very thankful for it. But next week, we will have live worship. Oh, yes. Yes. Put it on your calendar, May 17th. That is the final day of Sela Community Days. And like last year, we're going to now be having a joint service with, I think, four other churches, Sela Baptist, Harvest Church. I think Stone is going to be there. And and Seal of Covenant just up the street. So there's five churches, unless others join. And I've been meeting with the pastors all year long. They're great people. I'm actually going to be sharing a little bit at this one, but it's going to be on Sunday morning. We're going to take our own, like our own chairs and stuff, but I encourage all of us to be there. We'll have like a sign on the door here for people to join us there so they don't come to the church and say, what's going on? But it's May 17th. Put on your calendar. And so we're going to have church in the park. And we did it last year. We just last minute were told. And I think I only gave the church a week notice. But and we still did it. But this week, I mean, this year, I'm giving you a full month to get ready for it. And I'm telling you, it was amazing last year. It was a great, I mean, I really loved the heart of it. Nobody was trying to be like, you know, the head honcho or anything. As a matter of fact, this year's theme is one another. And so we're going to be blessing one another, preferring one another. The pastor of Harvest, his name's Jason Williams, great guy. He's called twice now and prayed for Gay. So I'm just telling you, he's, you know, these are amazing people. We're blessed to be part of this association, I guess you say, of pastors and CELA. So thank you, babe, for reminding me. Next week we'll actually have it on the overhead. So anyone else have any questions? Did you raise your hand? Or are you just saying amen?
What was that?
I saw you someone raise their hand. I thought, okay. All right, well, praise God. Bless you all. Have a great day and love you.